Okay, so the goal of this course is to give a proof of the functoriality of symmetric cube and symmetric fourth of a cuspidal representations of GL2. So let me write down the goal and syllabus, and then I'll basically follow the syllabus. So since this is a graduate course, I'll try to be I try to make this course self-contained. I mean, without any background from anything. That means that many proofs will be omitted. I mean, so basically, I will try to just to quote the result, but I will not assume anything. I will not. Okay. So let me. What is the goal? Goal of this course is okay, so let me, so I'll explain this this terminology in later lectures. So right now I'll just state the theorem. Let pi be a cuspidal representation of GL2A. So here, A is a ring of Abelian of a number field. And let sim M to be the nth symmetric power, the nth symmetric power M representation. Okay, then by the local Langlands correspondence, sim M pi V, so we have a tensor product representation. So it's well defined. So this is a well defined irreducible representation of GL M plus 1 FV for each V. So then if you collect all the local ones, then this will be an irreducible representation of this Abelian group. And a conjecture of Langlands is that this representation is automorphic. It's automorphic. And so I'll explain, I mean, Jim Cocker will explain later on. It's an automorphic representation. And the result is that the theorem, so theorem is that, so M equals 2, so there will be a symmetric square. So this is due to Galbaud and Jacquet. So this conjecture is true for M equals 2. And M equals 3, so there will be a symmetric cube. So that's the Shahidi and myself. And M equals 4, so this is, that's really a symmetric fourth. So goal of this course is to give a proof in these two cases. And For this, we have to use Langlan Shahid method and converse theorem of Kagdal and Piatek Shapiro. And in order to use Langlan Shahid method, we have to deal with exceptional groups of type E6, E7, and also spin groups. And these are Chevalier groups. And so I have to go over some properties of Chevalier groups and root systems. So these are the following is the syllabus. So syllabus, I'm gonna cover the following topics. So first, the Chevalier groups and its properties, their properties. And cuspidal representations. And three, L groups. And automorphic. L functions. And fourth, induced representation. Intertwining operators, and All right. Okay, so I'll cover these topics. So I think I can probably skip Compass Theorem of Cocktail and Piatek Shapiro because Jim Cocktail is going to talk about it. And on the way, probably I might have to skip some things because if I run out of time, then in April I'll try to lecture probably three times a week if I need more time. All right, so I have to first let me talk about the Chevalier groups. So Chevalier groups and their root systems and parabolic subgroups. So let me first start with a definition of algebraic groups. So definition. So G be an, let G be an affine algebraic groups. Group defined over field F. So there are many ways to define affine algebraic group. But we'll just take the easiest one. The easiest way to define algebraic group is to define it as a subgroup of a matrix, define it as a matrix group. So the easiest way, to define is to define it as a subgroup of GLN and omega. So omega is a big algebraically closed field, defined by subgroup of, given by, defined by a set of polynomial equations. In the coefficients polynomial equations in the variable in xij and the determinant of inverse. So we satisfy the following polynomial equations. X and N determinant inverse XI J equal 0. So this determinant inverse is artificial, but so if you multiply enough powers of XI J, then you can get rid of this. So it's very convenient if you put it there. So in algebraic geometry terms, so G will be, our algebraic group will be algebraic variety, so namely closed subset in terms of Zariski topology, but we don't have to know that. So let me just, okay, so this P alpha will have a coefficients, so polynomial will have a coefficients in, in F. So that's what defined over F means. I mean, we are, if it's a characteristic P, then it's a different story, but let's assume that F is characteristic 0. Everything is nice. So let me just look at several examples. So G is GLN. GLN is so obvious algebraic group. And SLN. So SLN is defined by determinant of xij minus 1 equals 0. So this is clearly polynomial equation. And the common convention is that GL1, so we sometimes denote by usually GM, and omega, so this group, 0, 1, x, by GA, the unipotent subgroup. That's the usual convention. And symplect group, so we 2n. So this is the symplect group is set of 2 by 2, 2n by 2n matrix, such that transpose J, G equals J, where J is given by the following matrix, 0, 0, 1, 1, minus 1, minus 1. So this will be given by, if you expand it, so this will be given by 4n square polynomial equation. So this we call a symplectic group. So if you look at n equals 1, for example, n equals 1, so if you, if I look, calculate explicitly, so let's see what does n equals 1 imply. So 0, 1, minus 1, 0, a, b, c, d, here a, c, b, d, so this has to be 0, 1, minus 1, 0, and so if you calculate explicitly, then you get AD minus BC is 1. So in the special case SP2, so this is same as SL2. And more complicated one, we call restriction of scalars. So this is called, let's say, you can define explicitly GL2. So in the literature, this is called restriction of scalars. And so this will be defined over Q. So this is an algebraic group. So this will be, you know, in terms of matrix group, this will be defined as a, concretely, this will be X, Y, minus X, minus Y, X. So this belongs to GL4 omega. So it is defined as a 4 by 4 matrix. So this we call restriction of scalars. So the reason it's a restriction of scalars is that QI, Q, GL2, Q rational points. So if you put the entries rational points, so this will be isomorphic to GL2QI. It will be isomorphic to GL2 with the entries in Gaussian integer. So I have a more simple simpler example is QI, Q, GL1. So as an algebraic group, so this is defined as a matrix group, X, Y, minus X, X. So here, X squared plus Y squared is not zero. And so this is defined in this way. So as you can see, if you put the Q rational points, so you get, let's say G, so then G Q is basically isomorphic to QI, non-zero element. So anyway, these are the examples of so-called quasi-split groups. We are not going to deal with that. So I'm going to define later what the split group is and quasi-split group is. So these are the more complicated ones. So we're not going to deal with it. Okay, so now next, we have to define what the reductive means. So next, the definition is, so let G be a connected. So from now on, we'll skip this affine means, affine. Connected algebraic group. So connected is in terms of Zariski topology, and actually you don't have to worry about that. So let's not worry about what connected means for our purpose. So the radical. So the radical of G, denoted by RG, is a maximal element in the set of connected solvable normal subgroup. Of G. So that's the definition of radical. So this radical will be in a reductive group case, it will be basically the center, connected component of the center of the group. Okay, the unipotent radical. Unipotent radical of G. So we denote by RUG is the unipotent part. Part of RG. Okay, so let me explain what the unipotent part means. Unipotent part. So unipotent part means the IE, the set of unipotent elements. Unipotent elements of RG. Okay. So let me make a quick definition here. So if an element G is a semi-simple, so semi-simple, if G is similar to a diagonal matrix. So we are talking about subgroup of G, matrix group, so you can talk about similarity, so it's a diagonal matrix, and G is a unipotent. If G minus 1 to the some power is 0 for some integer. So that's the definition of unipotent element. Okay. So now we can now define reductive group. So the definition is G is called a semi-simple if RG is trivial. And if G is called reductive, if RUG is trivial. So If you're not familiar with these terminologies, just think of a reductive group as a GLN and a semi-simple group as SLN. So semi-simple means that the center will be finite. Okay? And reductive means it has a center, non-trivial center. So that you can think of that way. Okay? And now, as we talk about the parabolic subgroups, then we have to talk about the Levy decomposition. So we can, whenever you have an algebraic group, you can always decompose. You can always write as semi-direct product of reductive group and unipotent part. So that's the, let me write as the following proposition. So this is called the Levy decomposition. So G is a connected algebraic group defined over F. So let's say F, we are going to deal with the characteristic 0. So then, let's say characteristic F is 0. So then they exist a reductive subgroup M G such that G is a semi-direct product of M times the unipotent radical. So this is a semi-direct product. Okay. So we are going to use this decomposition quite a bit in the later on. So G is a parabolic subgroup. So for example, if G is S, parabolic subgroup of this form. Let's say you have a GLN, so it's a GL, N plus N. And let's say we have this subgroup of the following form. So this is M, N, M, N. So this is called maximal parabolic subgroup inside the GL M plus N. And so you can decompose. So the reductive subgroup that we call a Levy subgroup. So you can decompose as a, I mean, this is very clear. I mean, this is 0, 0, 1. Identity, 0, star. So you can decompose, you can write as a semi-direct product of this one and that one. So this is the reductive part, and we call Levy subgroup, and this is the unipotent part. Okay, you can, all right. So this is true for arbitrary algebraic groups. And second, if G is a reductive, then you can write G as a product of the radical times G prime. So this is now, this is called the almost direct product. So almost direct product means that the intersection is non-trivial. Intersection is finite. So it's not quite a product. And the G prime here is the derived group. The derived group of G. So G prime is the commutator, the group generated by the commutators. Okay, so for example, the example is GLN. So it is GLN. So this example of that is that GLN is, you can write as the center. So A. So the center will be the radical and SLN. So you can write, so this will be the radical and the SLN is the derived group of GLN. So that is true for arbitrary reductive group. So it's RG, radical is, so RG is the connected component. It's the connected component. Component of the center. Center of G. Okay, so now let me move on to the roots and the root system of these reductive groups. So first we have to define the torus. So for example, an algebraic group P is called the torus if P is isomorphic to the product of GL1. Okay, so for example, the diagonal matrix in GLN is clearly a torus, but I wrote down this is also a torus. So this is also torus. So G. So clearly, example is that the diagonal matrix. So let me denote by Dn. So Dn is diagonal matrix. In GLN. So this is clearly a torus. So this is isomorphic to Gm to the nth power. So this is called torus. But, that group is also torus, GM. So this is isomorphic to, so remember that this isomorphism is, we have to, okay, so I didn't define the rational homomorphism. So this, you have to define the homomorphism given by the polynomial equation. And this is isomorphic to GM square. I mean, we have to, so we are thinking of over algebraically closed field. So this is, the isomorphism is, we have XY minus X, YX. So the isomorphism is X plus YI, 0, 0, X minus YI. So this is the isomorphism. So this is clearly defined by polynomial map. And so this is also a torus. Okay? So this is example, this will be an example of a quasi-split torus. It's not split in the sense that the defining isomorphism is not defined over Q. Yes. Yeah, this is everything over as an algebraic group. As an algebraic group. Not over rational form. Yeah. Okay. So the definition is the now we define, let's say G is an algebraic group. So we define X star G. So we define the X star G. So this is the group of characters. The group of characters defined over okay, so let's the group of characters. So this is basically the set of homomorphisms from G to GL1. So homomorphism, we are always, whenever you have a algebraic group, the homomorphism is you have to always think of map defined by polynomial equation. Okay? So that's the, so this is a homomorphism defined by a polynomial. So the proposition is that the group of rational characters, group of rational characters of this torus, Gm to the nth power, this is isomorphic to Zn. This is isomorphic to Zn. So this will be the basis for all that follows here. Alright, so the following proposition we'll use from time to time. So G is a reductive group. And now we have that decomposition here. So let's say G has decomposition S, so RG, so S times G prime. So let's denote the radical to be the S. Then, so G prime is derived group. Then, S is a torus. And X star G, the group of characters of G is a subgroup. Subgroup of X star S with a finite index. So this proposition will apply later on for G to be the Levy subgroup, and then S will be the connected component of the center. So, and then, okay, I'll give an example in a minute. Okay, so let me just give an example first. So we have a G, let's say GLN. GLN is, I already wrote down here. So you can decompose as S times SLN. Here S is the center. Center of the torus. So this will be A. Okay, so this is isomorphic to GL1. So group of characters, of S is isomorphic to Z. Okay, so then, but the group of characters of GLN, this is generated by the determinant. So this is also isomorphic to Z, so this will be generated by the determinant. So determinant is clearly defined by polynomial equation, so that's the character of GLN. So let's say chi. So let's denote this chi. So chi G is the determinant. But the chi of A, this is A to the nth power I. Okay? And so this is a generator of this character group is generated by is sending A to so generator will be is sending what is the generator? A to A. So this generator is A to A is sent to A. So that's the generator. Okay. So you can see that this is the subgroup of this with a finite index. Okay. So and you can prove this quite easily. You can let me give just the first proof. So, because it's not, I guess it's a well-known fact, but the proof is not written. So let me give you a proof of this fact. So, first we prove that, show that the X star, the group of characters, is trivial if G is semi-simple. Okay, so if G is simple, so what does simple mean? So simple means that, i.e., no, G has no proper normal subgroups. So proper normal closed. Proper normal closed subgroups. Subgroup of dimension greater than zero. So that's what simple means. So, and if we have a character, and if you have a character, then the kernel of this character is a closed subgroup. It's a closed normal subgroup. Of G. And now we have a dimension formula. So we have a dimension formula. Dimension of G, okay, and dimension of plus dimension of the kernel of chi. And so from this, you can deduce that the dimension of kernel is greater than equal to 1. So from this, you deduce that. And so since G is simple, so that means that the kernel has to be the whole thing. This whole thing. So the chi has to be trivial. And so if G is simple, then this is true. And if G is semi-simple, then we use the fact that so this I'm not going to prove that there is an isogeny. So isogeny means that subjective homomorphism. Subjective homomorphism with a finite kernel. So there's an isogeny of G1 times GK to G, where GI is simple. So there's a product of simple groups to G. There's an isogeny. And Okay, so that implies that the group of characters is embedded. So it can be, since it's a suggestion, so it can be embedded as a group of characters, product of group of characters. And we show that this is trivial. So this is trivial. So that means that this has to be trivial. Okay. And if G is reductive, then there is an isogeny. So you have almost direct product. So almost direct product means that we can form isogeny S times G prime to G. So it will be an isogeny. So it's product map. So that means that the group of characters is so there's an injection times that, and this is trivial means that this is X star S. So this is isogeny means that this is an injection with a finite index. Injection with a finite index. Okay, so that will be the proof. Okay, so we'll use this fact later on. Okay. Now I'll define roots. So in order to define roots, I have to define a Lie algebra. I will skip the definition of Lie algebra. Lie algebra, you can think of it as a tangent space of a manifold. It's a set of derivations. So instead of giving formal definition, I will just explain how to find the Lie algebra, how to find the Lie algebra as a matrix group. So let G be an algebraic group. So remember that G is a matrix group. So we let G, so it's the Lie algebra. So there is a formal definition, so which I'm not going to write down. So let me but just explain how to find Lie algebra as M by M matrices. So let's say G is the subgroup of GLN omega. Okay. And the Lie algebra, it's an algebraic trick. So this is the following algebraic trick. Trick of finding G as an M by M matrix. M by M as a subset. As a subset of M, N, omega. So this is the M by M matrix. So just take G, take T, just arbitrary indeterminate such that T square is 0. Just take T such that T square is 0. Then the Lie algebra as an M by M matrix, so this is the set of M by M matrix such that 1 plus TX belongs to G. So this is an algebraic trick. Okay, so let's look at several examples. So if G is GLN, then this will be true for any X. So the Lie algebra will be just the M by M matrix. And if it is SLN, so G will be a set of X such that a determinant 1 plus TX is 1. Okay. And now, if you expand, if you expand it, if you have a Taylor expansion, if you expand this, the constant term will be 1, and the second term will be trace of x, and the t square, we don't have to worry about t square because by our assumption t square is 0. And so this is our Taylor expansion, and in order that this is true, then the trace has to be 0. So this is set of M by M matrix, the trace is 0. So that's the Lie algebra of SLM. Okay, now let's look at G is SP, symplectic group. So we define the symplectic group. G is the SL2N such that J is J, where J is 1, 1, minus 1, minus 1. So this is J. So the Lie algebra of the symplectic group will be set of X in such that 1 plus Tx transpose J 1 plus Tx will be J. So if you expand it, then you can see that this is set of M by M matrix such that plus Jx is 0. So this is Lie algebra. Okay. So whenever you have a Lie algebra, an algebraic group, then we have an adjoint representation. You have an adjoint representation. So again, there are formal definitions, but if you realize G as a matrix group, the adjoint representation is given by the following. So we write down as AD. So adjoint representation is homomorphism from G to the endomorphism of Lie algebra. So this is a vector space. So we have a group of endomorphism. So adjoint representation is you send G to the following endomorphism, G, X, G, inverse. So these are just the matrix multiplication. We are talking only about matrix. So this is the adjoint representation. This one we'll use a lot later on, this adjoint representation. Okay. So now we can now define our roots. What are the roots? So let we take a maximal torus, so B A maximal torus in G. Maximal torus in G. So remember that T is isomorphic to a product of GL1. So especially T is a commutative abelian group. It's a commutative group. And so now, okay, so let me just write down. So this is torus, so especially this is an abelian. So this is commutative. So if you look at the image of on the adjoint representation, so let's consider the image of this maximal torus under the adjoint representation. So there will be, this is a commuting set of the endomorphisms. So let me write down. So this is a set of commuting endomorphisms from G to G. and which are diagonalizable. Since T is diagonalizable, and the image will be also diagonalizable. So then there is a theorem in the linear algebra. Whenever you have a commuting set of endomorphisms diagonalizable linear transformation, so you can simultaneously diagonalize. You can diagonalize simultaneously. So they are simultaneously. Diagonalizable. So this is a theorem in the linear algebra. And simultaneously diagonalizable, and what are the eigenvalues? The eigenvalues are precisely polynomial. So eigenvalues are polynomials in T. Basically, eigenvalues are polynomials of this variable T in T. So that means that precisely they are the characters. So they are characters. So characters of T. And there are only finitely many eigenvalues. So there are only finitely many characters which show up as eigenvalues. So we have the following decomposition. So we have the following direct sum decomposition in terms of eigenspaces. So let me denote this one by G0T, because this is dependent upon T, choice of T. So we have G alpha T, where alpha is phi. So here, G alpha T is this is basically an eigenspace. So this is a set of alpha T X. Here alpha belongs to the characters, non-zero characters. And this space corresponding to the zero eigenvalue. And there are only finitely many, since there are only finitely many eigenvalues, there are only finitely many characters will show up. So this phi is finite. And this phi is the called roots. So phi is called a set of roots. Set of roots of G with respect to T. Okay, so let me calculate the roots very concretely. So let's just look at the SP4. So 4x4. Let's see what the roots are. Okay. So these are the set of G, the SL4. So T, G, J is J. Here J is 1, 1, minus 1, minus 1. 0, 0. Here the maximal torus, you have to verify this. So this maximal torus is, so let me denote by x, t1, t2. T1, t2, t2 inverse, t1 inverse. So these are the maximal torus. And the Lie algebra is given by a, b, c, a prime. Here B is of the following form, A, B, C, A. So these are the same. And A and A prime are related. So if A is alpha, beta, gamma, delta, so then the A prime is minus delta, minus beta, minus gamma, minus alpha. You can use that relation and calculate explicitly. Okay? And so if you plug in this machinery, you can see that the roots are the following. You can see that plus minus E1 plus minus E2 plus minus 2E1 plus minus 2E2. Here, E1 is the character. E1 is the character which sends this one to just T1. And E2 is sends to T2. Okay, so the reason I denote by this, so basically E1 plus E2 means that you send this to T1 times T2. So the reason I use additive notation is that's the custom. So even though it's a multiplication, in roots, we use additive notation. Okay, so you can verify explicitly, and you can find what these root spaces are. So let me write down so you can verify at home. So E1 minus E2, the root space, the eigenspace is the following. So this is 0, 0, 0, delta, beta, 0, 0, minus beta, 0, 0. So these are the roots, eigenspace for that character. And G, 2E1. So this is 0, 0, 0, 0, B, 0, 0. And G, 2E2. This is 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, C, 0. And finally, G, E1 plus E2. This is just the 0, 0, 0, A, A, 0, 0. So these are the E2. And minus means that these are just the lower triangular matrix. These are upper triangular matrix, are plus, positive, we call positive roots. So that's what I'm going to define in a minute. And these are the negative roots will be just the lower triangular matrix. So you can calculate explicitly. Okay, now when you have a group of characters, then we can define the group of core characters. So the definition is we define by X star law, the lowercase star. So this is the group of homomorphisms from GM to T. So this is called the group of core characters. Group of co-characters. And then we have a natural pairing. So we have, there is a natural pairing. So X star T, X the lower star T to Z. So chi and mu. So mu is the, so we can composite this. So this composition will be from homomorphism from GM to GM. So this is we learned that group of characters of GM is isomorphic to Z. It's isomorphic to Z. So this means that the generator is going t to t, so this will be t to the some integer. So we define this integer to be the this pairing, so chi and mu. So we define this integer to be that integer, which is satisfied there. So chi will be x star t, and mu will be x lower star t. Okay, so using this pairing, so we can identify this group of core characters x star with x star t to the hat. So hat is basically the set of homomorphisms, group of homomorphisms from x star t to z. So we can define in this way. And the definition of co-characters, so definition of co-roots. So now we have we define the roots. Now we can define co-roots. So co-roots are, so alpha is a root. Then the alpha check. Alpha check, so we define, we use this notation. Alpha check is the co-root. So this is called a co-root. And this is a, alpha check is a unique homomorphism. Unique homomorphism from GM to T. So this is a unique co-character such that alpha check is 2. Alpha check is 2. Okay, so this is the definition of co-root. And we can explicitly determine this co-root. So we can explicitly determine. Determine alpha check t for t is in GM. So in the following way. So alpha, remember that alpha is a root, means that this is a character from homomorphism from t to GM. And the kernel of this root is a connected component. So this is a connected component. So this is a connected component of kernel of alpha. So this is a subtorus. Subtorus of co-dimension 1. So if you look at the dimension formula, so there will be subtorus co-dimension 1. And let Z alpha is be the centralizer of kernel of alpha in G. Okay. And the G alpha, so in this case G alpha is connected a reductive group with the T as a maximal torus. Okay. So, and let G alpha be the derived group of G alpha. then G alpha is either SL2 or PGL2. PGL2. And so is SL2 or PGL2, so then G alpha is a hexamaximal torus. Maximal torus P alpha in T. So we define, so alpha then, the alpha T, alpha check, GM, T will be basically, so we can define this map from GM to T alpha to be the, is the unique homomorphism. Such that alpha check is true. Okay, so let me give an example. So, I mean, these are all looks abstract, but let me calculate explicitly in the case of GLN. Okay, so GLN, in the case of GLN, the roots are the following homomorphism. So you have a maximal torus, zero, and one of the typical roots are ti plus one inverse. So these are one of the roots. So you can calculate explicitly. So actually that's the example of simple roots. So I'll define simple roots anyway. So these are the one of the roots. Okay. So then the kernel. You can, the kernel is, so what is the kernel? Kernel means, kernel is exactly T1 and, dada. So you have a kernel will be Ti and Ti plus one is same. So T. So this is a I position, and this is I plus one position. So this is the kernel. And now we take a centralizer. So Z alpha. Now we take a centralizer. So anyway, this is a connective, so we're gonna have to take connective component. Now centralizer will be, so this will be the same, everything zero. So centralizer of that will be just the torus. And now centralizer of this is whole GL2. So this will be whole GL2 here. So that's the centralizer. So this centralized. And now you take a derived group. What is the derived group? G alpha will be, if you take a derived group, then it will be all one. So derived group will be 1, 1, 1, 1, and our derived group of GL2 is SL2. So SL2. So that's the derived group. And the SL2 has a maximal torus. So T alpha, in our case, T alpha will be 1, 1, T, T inverse. So that's the torus. Torus of SL2. Okay. And alpha check tilde will be, so alpha check T. So the coroot of that root will be precisely 1, 1, T, T inverse 1, 1. So this is the coroot. I plus one. So this is how you determine the chorus explicitly. Okay. All right. So now I can write down the properties of root system. Okay, so these are the chorus. And now one more ingredient. So let NT and ZT be the normalizer and centralizer of T in G. Okay, then the fact is that the centralizer is itself, and this quotient group is finite. This is finite. And this group is called a Weyl group. Weyl group of G relative to T. Relative to T. Okay. And since now we'll identify this Weyl group. So whenever you have a Weyl group element, so you can So now for simplicity, let's denote x to the x star t. So this is a group of characters, and this triple x phi and w. So we have now triple here. X is the group of characters. Now we can define the set of roots, and now we define Weyl group. And this triple is called the root system. So this is a root system . So these are the root systems. So what are the properties? So let me write down the properties. So property is that X is a free module of rank L. Here L is the dimension of the torus, and the phi is a finite subset of X, and W is a finite automorphism group of X. So now here is what I mean by W. So whenever you have a W, okay, so this we'll identify this with the following the following math from T to T. So T goes to W T W inverse. So we'll identify W with this homomorphism, and now we identify this homomorphism. Now whenever you have a homomorphism from T to T, this will induce the homomorphism of its character groups. So whenever you have TW here. So whenever you have a homomorphism from T to T, then this will induce, you send chi to, you just composite. Just take a composite there. So the chi will be homomorphism from T to GM, and if you take a composite, then we'll have a homomorphism from character group to character group. So we'll identify all of these. So these are the identification we'll use. So we identify a Weyl group with this will be the automorphism group of the character group. So we'll denote this by the same letter. We'll denote it by same letter. So these are all the identification. So this will justify this expression. So W is given by this quotient group, but this you can think of it as a automorphism group of the character group. Okay. And this conjugation is well defined because W belongs to normalizer. Okay, so this map is well defined. Alright, so okay, so now I can just write the properties of root system and then I'll finish today. Okay, so the properties of this root system, you can look up in any realgebra book, like say complex realgebra, or I think you can find in several places. So this is a root system such that it satisfies the following five properties. Okay, so number one, zero doesn't belong to phi, and if alpha belongs to phi, then minus alpha belongs to phi. And second, if alpha belongs to phi, and C alpha belongs to C for C Q, then C is plus minus 1. And third, to each alpha, there corresponds to a vowel group element such that W alpha has the following property: chi minus alpha check chi alpha for chi in X, and W alpha phi is phi. Okay, and so this is actually that pairing there. Okay, it's a pairing. So we are thinking of the coroot as a homomorphism. So this will be the pairing, chi and alpha check. And fourth, xq. So xq is the tensor product with x. It's generated by phi as a vector space over Q. And the fifth, W, is generated by W alpha. Alpha is in phi. Okay. So these are the properties of root system. And Springer called this root datum. So if you put another data, so we call x star t phi x low star t and phi check. So phi check is the set of coroots. So this four tuple is called the root datum. Root datum. Okay. And so this root datum will be used to define an L group, Langlands L group, later on. Okay. Langlands L group is we just switch this one, and switch this. So that will be the L group. All right, so I have 5 minutes. Okay, so I will do one more thing and then I'll finish there. Okay, now W is finite, phi group is finite, since W is finite. We can introduce W invariant, positive definite, symmetric bilinear form. On XQ. So just take so the way you to do it is take any bilinear form, take any positive definite symmetric bilinear form so let's denote by this and define another symmetric bilinear form in this way. So you divide by the order of the bar group and then WX, WY. So if you define a new symmetric bilinear for positive definite symmetric bilinear form, so this will be now bar group invariant. Okay? So from now on, any symmetric bilinear form on this will be always bar group invariant. So that's we are going to assume that. Okay. So from the relation, so W alpha chi, so it's a bar group invariant. So this will be chi, and we have the relationship there, so W alpha chi is chi minus alpha check chi alpha. So if you plug in there, so from these two relationships, you can see that alpha check chi, so you plug in there and then you play around it, then you get this relationship, alpha chi alpha alpha. So we have that relationship. So sometimes using this, we can identify this chorus, you can identify alpha check with, 2 alpha, alpha, alpha. So we can basically identify these two space using this relationship. Okay? So that's the identification we are going to plan. Okay, so let me do one more and then I'll finish. So W alpha square is 1 and W alpha is minus alpha. So you can see easily there. And so W alpha leaves fixed the hyperplane given by this. So this is in a plane, what it means is that you have alpha, you have vector. So then the hyperplane is basically line which is perpendicular to this root. Okay. So this W alpha is called, reflection or symmetry with respect to alpha. And the numbers, C alpha beta, so this is 2 alpha beta alpha alpha. So whenever you have a 2 roots, and according to our formulation, this is always integer. So this is an integer, and this integer is called the Cartan integers. So called the Cartan integers. Alright, so I'll finish here. So what I'm going to do next is I will define a simple rule And when you define a simple root, then you can now classify this root system in terms of a Dynkin diagram. And then we can talk about, we can define a Chevalier group using a irreducible root system. And then now we'll study properties of Chevalier group, their parabolic subgroups. And after that, I'll define a Custer representation. So hopefully I can finish this algebraic group stuff next week.